Light Transitions Radio is a dialogue about personal and planetary change. Acknowledging that we are all at unique points on a continuum of change, Light Transitions Radio seeks out innovators and creators, engages them in spontaneous and deep dialogues, and shares these conversations with the world. Light Transitions Radio's mission is to help individuals and communities achieve positive transformation. Aloha, everyone, and welcome to Light Transitions Radio. My name is Robert Davis, and I'd like to thank you for joining us today. We're very, very honored today to welcome Anaya Sophia to Light Transitions Radio. Welcome, welcome.
Thank you so much, Robert. Thank you for bringing me on the show.
Well, it's my honor to do so. Before we get started, I want to read a little bit of Anaya's pathway to the present. And these are just some snippets of what is a beautifully spectrum pathway. And I know you will enjoy visiting her website, Pilgrimage to Love. So starting with her past, Anaya's heart's desire has always been the opportunity of being used by love to bring about a powerful, transformative opening to the often stubborn blocks that we cling onto, imagining that we have been wronged by another in relationship. Her passion and expertise lies within inspiring the humility of love to profoundly awaken within others, transporting them directly to their natural open state of effortless being. Her intoxicating and dedicated passion pours over into her writing, speaking, teaching, art, and wholehearted beingness. Her quest to know about love started when she was 7 years old, meeting an angel in Paris. After 12 years of teaching Kundalini Yoga, the practice that awakens once dormant sexual and creative energies to be used for further spiritual growth and freedom, her passion to directly experience and guide others to this freedom led her to become a teacher trainer. It was during this period that she was given a clear transmission into the ancient knowledge and direct experience of the energetic system and the deep understanding of the human experience and its blind spots. If you choose to be with me, you must risk finding yourself, as a quote. She's author of Pilgrimage to Love, a tale of romance, heartbreak, and meeting the one, and the creator of Sacred Reunion, Pathway of the Beloved, Awakening Soulful Sexuality. 3 40-day transformative processes based on her own experience of stepping over closer to the beloved, retrieving lost will and healing sexuality. She is also a qualified Kundalini yoga teacher, public speaker, and co-author of Womb Wisdom, Awakening the Forgotten and Creative Powers of the Feminine, and Open Your Heart with Kundalini Yoga. Her work is dedicated to the longing you feel within you to love without measure and to experience that divine yearning with your partner. To take this sacred mystery and to embody its rapture with your everyday lives, her desire is to experience and to know what Rumi and Shams lived and to then share and support you all to do the same. I know that this love is not the privilege of saints, Sufis, and mystical beloveds bound by text and legend. This love is waiting for us all to say yes and to mean it with our every breath as we lay down our lives at its feet. She's written several books. Open Your Heart with Kundalini Yoga in 2002, Mini Size Me, The Raw Revolution in 2006, Womb Wisdom 2011, Pilgrimage of Love 2011. She's a regular contributor to magazines and newspapers such as Kindred Spirit, Yoga Journal, Spirit and Destiny, The Mail on Sunday, The Guardian, The Telegraph, amongst others. She's been a presenter for Body Balance in 2008 in London. She had her own show on the radio called The Yoga Show 2006 to 2008 in London. She appeared on Wedding TV to introduce yoga and the chakra system as a guide to relationships, love, and sex in 2009. And she's appeared on numerous TV and radio shows discussing feminine spirituality, conscious relationships, and how to find the one. She has now begun her second novel called The Rose Knight, which is the second book of a trilogy of her true life memoirs of meeting her beloved and the arduous and often incredible journey on the path of divine love between two people. The first book is called The Pilgrimage of Love. And she's also writing up a follow-up book after Womb Wisdom called Sacred Union, The Ancient Alchemy of Soul Union. I'm led to ask the question at this point, after reading that beautiful expose of what brought you to the present, what have you found on this pilgrimage of love?
My goodness, what have I found? I think what inspires me the most is the feeling within me is now alive, and it goes back to I used to study Shams and Rumi, their actual lives. You know, we all know the poetry, but I really wanted to know about these two men. And I'll always remember this true life story, apparently, of when Shams met Rumi for the very first time. Rumi was actually a scholar in his own right. He was a poet, teaching at a local Persian university, and he was in the center of the town around the fountain, and his students were all sat around him, adoring his poetry and listening to every word, hanging on every word that was coming out of him. And Shams swaggered right up to him and snatched all of his scrolls of poetry and threw them in the fountain. And his students leapt up, trying to save these masterpieces, because at the time, obviously, it was papyrus and ink, and all the ink was running, and the words and the verses were being lost. And Shams looked at Rumi straight in the eye and said, "If you want to live what you're writing about, come and be with me." And his students were, you know, grasping at all the papyrus and trying to save them. And Rumi just turned around to them and went, "Forget it. Leave them where they are. I am indeed going with him." And, you know, this is a true story. He left his job. He left his students. He left his home. And in that moment, he didn't even go home for anything. In that moment, the two of them walked off into the desert. And I can honestly say that this energy, that this passion, this willingness is, this is not a fantasy anymore. This is an energy that is with me 24/7. So I think to answer that question, Robert, what have I discovered? I have not only discovered, but I am living that willingness and that surrender.
And I feel as well that it is an energy that you speak of that is now available
yes.
for so many in the uniqueness of their own attraction of sustenance and empowerment and self-love.
Correct.
Self-love.
Exactly right.
So it's a mystery, it's a marvel, and it is an immediate manifestation that has really come upon us like a wave in these times, and for you to be heralding it in such a beautiful context of love is a gift to us all.
Wow, thank you, Robert. I was actually listening this morning to J.J. Hertak, and he has done a version of the Pista Sophia. He's like unveiled the deeper meaning so that we can all understand it a little bit clearer. And he was sharing today that we're all very, very aware of the solar flare activity. But what he was bringing to our attention this morning is that there is the same amount of activity coming out of the galactic center, the big rotating black hole in the center of our Milky Way. What's coming out of the black hole is, you know, at the moment we're just calling them intense gamma rays. But I was feeling this morning and kind of going, oh my God, this is just beautiful. Because for me, you know, the sun represents the masculine.
Yeah.
And the masculine, you know, the solar flares. Yes, it's causing havoc on Earth with the electrics and everything. But then we also have the galactic center emanating, you know, her essence, which I feel is the feminine. So it's like, oh my goodness. And we're in the middle. Earth's in the middle and all life upon Earth. And, you know, obviously I see us all as the children. And I just see these two copious power generators, galactic center and the sun, just amping it right up so that we can birth through this next cycle. It's very exciting to realize that galactic center is up to the same thing.
Well, there is that element of connectivity, and I guess the term perhaps at the moment is coherence.
Yes.
And it is in that union, and as you view the masculine and the feminine in all the different contexts that you do, it truly is a resounding type of experience for individuals at this point in time to experience. And in your movements about the planet and this particular tour that you're on, there is the messaging. You are the messenger. And as you alert each person to the fact that they are also their own messenger, How is that being received? Are you seeing that individuals are starting to awaken to this energetic that is about us now in a ubiquitous form? And what kind of responses are you fielding from individuals in reference to your heralding and your alert to this phenomenon occurring?
Well, I think, you know, for me as a transmitter, as a sharer of this experience, I am always looking for the clearer and the most precise way of using vocabulary, of using bodily practice. I'm always looking to refine and simplify everything right down so that all beings, no matter, you know, their experience, they can tangibly feel what I'm sharing. And what I've been able to do recently is simplify this feeling, this tangible feeling, where there can be no doubt left because it's happening inside of your body, where everyone can simplistically see and experience their own masculine and feminine energies working together. And the way I've been doing this is by suggesting that the consciousness, the awareness, the ability to navigate and track your internal reality, that's the masculine principle, and the sensations and the emotions and the memories and the bodily experience and response, that's the feminine principle. So, you know, really all walks of life are being able to have these experiences inside their body, directly experiencing, oh my goodness, this is the masculine principle and just a little movement over here. Here is the feminine principle. Oh my God, I can clearly and directly experience these two very different aspects of myself. And then you see, with a little bit of practice, you can start to bring a dialogue between those two principles. And you can start to heal your own story around the separation. And then, lo and behold, you can start, you know, healing all of this with the other, you know, externally, the other in society. So this tour in America has been magical. It has been magical because of the freedom that is being tasted. It's almost like a euphoric moment, something that was once so mystical and, you know, something that could only be experienced in your imagination, you know, when reading about it, when reading scripture. Suddenly it's happening inside of your body. You know, it's like meeting God, God's faces, masculine and feminine, inside of yourself.
Yeah,
you know, I wish I could. Maybe I'm doing a good job. I have no idea, but it is tender to watch. It is tender. It is euphoric. It is freedom in essence. And obviously, you know, from that, copious amounts of love are experienced. The group comes together in ways I've never seen. You know, healings are just happening all over the place. Yes.
So in moving from one point to the next on the tour, are you adjusting your message at different frequencies for different groups, or do you primarily hold to a set pattern of your teaching?
Oh, no, not at all. I have no idea what's going to happen until the group is gathered. Until those people show up, I have no idea which way we're going to go.
Yes.
And what I have noticed in hindsight is that it's getting more and more intense. People are able to easily step into these experiences quicker, which means we can move on to something else. Yeah. It's, you know, there is such an energy. It's like a comet, you know, this energy that's moving this whole thing, you know, not just through me. There's so many of us, you know, bringing this light, this message of light. And, you know, it just has this glorious trail of energy behind it, lighting everything up.
As you've moved through this and experienced and co-experienced with so many people this process, what do you leave in your wake as an organizing principle? And when you look back, what has been the aftermath of this experience in people's lives?
For the ladies, for the women, it's the remembrance of the womb and the connection with Galactic Center. So for them, this is radical. This is absolutely radical that they can learn to meditate through what I call the seven gates. So instead of meditating at the third eye point, which is a great place, obviously, but it is not the natural feminine place to be meditating for her to be able to activate and harness, you know, her deeper feminine energies. For this, she needs to be meditating, almost like gazing down into the womb space and then looking through it way, way, way beyond the physical body. But the physical body actually holds the gateway for the woman. So what's happening is these women in America, they have discovered something. You know, these ladies have been spiritual like myself for so long, and we've been working on the third eye, and we've been thinking about, you know, shifting our energies up and up and up and up. But what I'm suggesting is, no, let's go the other way. let's drop down. Let's go deep. Let's go into the physical womb inside of the body. And then let's go out the back door. And hey, look where it leads to. It leads to that rotating black hole. It leads to galactic center. So they're getting experience of the divine feminine, not as a deity, not as a goddess, but as a rotating, orbiting life form full of magnetic energy, full of black light that is nourishing and quite possibly what the resurrection was all about, this black light, this ability to resurrect, to rebirth. So that's what the women are directly experiencing for themselves. And I've told them, once you've got to grips with this, once this becomes second nature, start to bring the masculine into this place. You know, when you've been making love beautifully together, guide him gently, guide his essence to this place and let him rest there. Let him receive this rebirth, this resurrection. Because at first, the masculine doesn't quite know where to head for. But the woman, she can open up that path, and then it becomes their path. It's not her path, it's their path.
So that feels like a direction for the new paradigm of a relationship, is it not?
That's my feeling, Robert.
Yes. So that guidance and that acknowledgement of the feminine and that allowance of the male to enfold within the rebirthing process of the divine feminine.
Yes.
Primarily what we are experiencing, yes.
Exactly right, exactly.
And the receptivity that you're receiving, I will assume is tremendous, based on touching truth, as you know, is an unequivocal opening to a high logic of being. And so in providing this type of informational landscape, I assume it's almost an instinctual response, is it not, for so many that have been brought to the edge of their seat with this evolutionary outflow of divine cosmic energy that we're now receiving at the planetary down to the cellular level.
Yes. Yes. Exactly, Robert. Exactly. Yeah.
Well, congratulations, I guess, comes to mind for me, for being allowed to be such a clear spokesperson for this information. And it's about the nuances now and the tripwires of the subtleties that we are all awaiting as signals to move forward in trusting ourselves to embrace that which we've always known. Mm-hmm. It is exciting and an honor. It comes to a point of almost being ineffable as it does run to the core of a true feeling experience, and from the erudite mind of the intellectual process of the masculine focus to what you've so eloquently expressed as the invitation of the emotional intuitive.
Yes. And that's exactly right. That's another piece to this blueprint. It's the ability of the feminine. When I say feminine, you know, just to clarify to your listeners, I'm not talking about women. I'm talking about the feminine principle in all of us. You know, we have lived under a masculine principle for so long, you know, for really choosing intelligence, opting for goal-orientated results and success and competition and, you know, asking questions, receiving answers, being able to map and navigate through our experiences. So everything, you know, quite linear and quite grid-like. But for this, what I'm sharing to become real and to become yours inside your own body, the feminine principle needs to come back into balance. And the and this is how I've been using the language. You know, I've been saying to the men and the women to invite their feelings to be exposed. So, yeah. You know, you don't have to verbalize them. So it's not like, hey, I'm feeling this, but just to allow the exposure to the unflowering, the blossoming of a feeling, allow it to just open up inside of your own body. And then whether it's your masculine consciousness or the masculine consciousness of your beloved, allow that to penetrate, you know, these deep feelings that you have locked down, kept hidden, you know, shoved to the outermost of your psyche. You know, we can never get rid of anything. It just hangs around on the periphery until moments like this, when you hear the words expose or, you know, unflower, uncurl. And I'm really seeing, I'm seeing these spontaneous healings happening in people. Yes. And I can honestly say in my own system, you know, as I become brave and courageous enough to expose these deep feelings, you know, huge feelings of, you know, say, for instance, for the feminine being abandoned, this isn't a feeling of, you know, just being dropped. This is a feeling that feels like you have been thrown off Earth. And you are cascading throughout time and space. And there's no hope of ever landing. You are falling away from God constantly. Mm. You know, that's how deep that feeling of abandonment can go. Mm. Now, obviously, that's not the sort of thing you want to share with anyone, you know? Not when we were living under the masculine principle. But these type of things, these are the things that are going to be magnetically drawn back into your awareness to be released, to be freed, to be embraced, so that that energy that was keeping that big feeling away, that energy can now turn back and come back into your own system and be used for something co-creative together.
Free, and for, yes.
And so I just want to share the masculine, the huge masculine fear that he will have to overcome. And that's the sensation of being totally consumed. So his identity being stripped or ripped away from his psyche forever.
Mm.
And, you know, and as we move into these beloved relationships, these are the two guardians for the masculine and feminine. These are the two gateways that we have to cross for us to actually live the fullness of what I'm sharing. There's two little guardians on the door. One of them's called abandonment, the other one's called consumption.
And it bodes for a restructuring of really relationships as perhaps many people have known them today. And so much discontent can be gleaned from a casual walk through a town and often seeing couples energetically that are in a state of non-harmonic.
Yes.
and it's there. And how do these couples adjust with grace to this new input of information?
Gosh, the only grace factor we have is consciousness. If we can become conscious of what's happening, there's the grace.
Yes.
And then the secondary, and can we communicate that? There's the second grace. Really, that's the only way we can move, we can change these paradigms. The art of communication and the art of consciousness. And being ruthlessly honest with everything that's going on inside your own universe.
So where is this tour taking you? When will it end, if it will end at all?
Well, this cycle ends where I am right now, which is in Ojai in California.
Okay.
And what I'm going to do, my next move is... So obviously, you know, like a video recorder, I have been energetically recording everything that's been happening since I've been in the States. So the tears, the tenderness, the sorrow, the breakthroughs, the utopia, the euphoria, the ecstasy, the seeing of one another, the reunion, you know. So I've been energetically recording all of these energies. And what I'm going to do now is I'm very aware of this 28th of October, which is the end of the ninth wave of the Mayan calendar. And, you know, there's been suggestion that there could be some interesting earth shifts on that day. So I've decided I'm going to end this cycle in Rome. I've decided to take a flight to Italy, to go to Rome, and to actually take this that I've recorded energetically, and I'm going to go to the Vatican City on the 28th of October as a tourist, and I'm just going to wander around with this joyful celebration that's running through my system, and I feel to just share that, emanate that, radiate that out into the walls of Vatican City. Not because anything that's happening there is wrong and this and that and the other. To just come full circle. You know? That's so at the end of this cycle ends on the 28th of October inside the walls of Vatican City. And then it will begin again, but in a new way. And a new voice, a different expression, a different aspect.
And is your home at this point in time England?
My belongings are in England. Yes. My heart is here. It's in the States.
Yes.
For sure. I'm going to go home. I'm going to spend Christmas with my family. And then on the 27th of December, I'm going to be back on that plane, heading back in this direction, because it is clear, you know, it is so obvious. This is where it's going to get born. This ground is fertile. The people are ready.
Yes.
It is such it feels like the promised land, you know, that's the word that keeps coming up, the promised land. Yeah. So I'm going to be straight back, Robert.
Good. Well, I want to I guess you've covered so many perspectives in reference to the present and these different fluid energetic streams of really source information that's coming to us at this point in time, about where you are now and where you're going. For our listeners, in their present moment of listening to this interview, what could you offer them as an insight to your work and what you see as an opportunity for their work at this point in time.
Okay, a couple of questions that I often run through myself. You know, there's the obvious question, you know, what would love do? What would love say in this moment, you know, when you're experiencing a little bit of friction, a little bit of conflict, a little bit of unease in your system? And then I have a few other questions, which was, how would love ask me to serve my partner right now? And how would love ask me to serve myself right now? So basically, you know, that's a good place to start with. And to really, you know, really keep questioning, well, what is my understanding of love? Because, Robert, you know, and I was speaking with Dearborn about this one yesterday, a friend that we have in common. There are definitely two aspects of love on the planet right now. There's the one that I call human love, which it isn't really love. It's like a fondness. It's like an affection for one another. It's like some sort of deal or contract that if you do this for me, I'll do that for you. And then there's the, you know, the ineffable, the adorable, the beloved, the devotional form of love that we often have just for God or our deity or, you know, whoever it is that we're praying to. And we have to, and with every breath that's in my body, I desire that all of my love relationships to be that same quality of devotion and bhakti that I have for my creator. I really don't want to do that human love thing anymore. You know, the one that's at arm's length. It's very controllable. It has, you know, has terms and conditions. I'm not interested. I'm really not interested. And, you know, for us human beings to just humbly look at our own definition of love and what do we feel it really longs to give the other and to ourselves. You know, the self-love aspect is hugely important. This is probably where I learned most of my lessons, because strangely enough, you know, there's this person, myself, harking on about love, and then in a very profoundly deep relationship, I realized just how much lack of self-love I had. Whoa, that was a big one. That was interesting to digest, to realize, to actually, you know, humbly look at my own low self-esteem and my own unworthiness. Wow! And here I am talking about love. So, you know, I had to kind of retreat, go off and, you know, I can't talk about love when I have this unworthiness going on. You know, and really, so, you know, with such sobriety, enter into that chasm and start to do the work there, Robert. And I think, you know, I feel that that's what we all need to really look at. You know, which kind of love are we actually really at the end of the day serving? Are we really laying down our lives for this adorable love? Or are we still opting into that human fondness, you know? Yeah. And then when you make your decision, you know, which one you're aligned to, which one you serve, which one you die and live for, you just don't move from that place as best as you can. You kind of draw, well, that's what I did. I drew a line on the floor. And, you know, and with a ritual, with a ceremony, I crossed that line. Okay, it's like, hey, I'm in. I'm in for the big one.
It comes to that point. It comes to the point when you really must step over and heal thyself in reference to thy knowing, and yeah. and then bring that from your heart in an integrative way to all that you do and all that you are.
Yes.
And Anaya, you are that, and with your clarity and your humbleness and your joy, I thank you for joining us today. And for more information on Anaya Sophia and her work, please visit www.pilgrimageoflove.com and also the pilgrimageoflove.com/archives/1044. We'll have that link and others pertaining to today's show on our website, lighttransitionsradio.com. If you'd like to comment on today's show, please visit our website or email us at comment@lighttransitionsradio.com. Anaya, I thank you so very, very much for being such a clear reflection of so much love and so much truth that we are being graced with in all of our lives at this point in time. So I thank you.
Oh, Robert, truly, thank you. Thank you for inviting me on, and thank you for our conversation. I have my hand over my heart right now, smiling from ear to ear.
I join you there.
Beautiful.